punished for playing the Bank of America song or whatever yesterday? Is that
Oh, Crane, you lost that.
Kelly Clarkson.
See, Tim even knows who she is.
I do like this song, actually.
Everybody loves this song. It's a great pop song.
It's a great pop song, and I remember her being soaking wet wearing an Aerosmith shirt. That's really what this is about to me.
I own this album. I'm proud of it.
This was your ringtone.
Uh-huh.
It should be again. You know it's true. Yeah, the sound is the sound of freedom, sir. It's 503-733-2970. I'm telling you, Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson feels free that she can breathe once again. But a great oppressive weight has been lifted off of her. Kelly Clarkson feels that way. Kelly Clarkson is celebrating her singledom with wide open arms.
I think it's mine. Oh, Socket's behind you.
Really?
Yes.
Now he just ducked out of sight. He gave you a friendly wave and a wink. Is he just popping into the window when my back is turned? Then I look.
He's making faces at you.
I turn around and he vanishes. 503-733 Rick, this email says, ever since I started listening to your show, I found myself agreeing with you on almost everything. Politics, music, outlook on people, you name it. Now, if you remember my previous email, you'll note that we have the same number of teeth. It's starting to freak me out, quite frankly. I'm just saying.
You guys are soulmates.
And P.S., if you reply to this, I will also send you hot pictures. Okay, thank you. That's not going to happen. It's 503-733-2970. Just a few, we'll be joined by Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Later on, Court and Fatboy from KUFO. We're going to be here, like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, rested, recuperated, Tim Riley.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Somebody's been shot. Scene of the crime, Northeast 136th Avenue, Sydney Boulevard. The time, 1 o'clock. First, the rush to the hospital. That's all we know at this time. A doctor pled guilty to stealing a severed hand, which he gave to a stripper to display in her apartment. Armand Rashad faces 5 years probation after stealing the hand from a New Jersey medical school in 2002. He practices medicine at a hospital in Los Angeles, but stole the hand while studying in Jersey. After giving it to a stripper as a gift, she displayed the hand in a jar in her apartment. Police made the discovery while investigating an unrelated incident.
I think he misunderstood what she said.
All right.
I like to take the whole hand. And then he gave her the whole hand. When, you know. No, and she meant to be given a hand as in a round of applause. She likes the whole hand. Hello. Can you hear me in the back? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about the big game Sunday, shall we?
The big game!
At the press conference, Prince greets the crowd and takes a question. Pop me up, please.
Here's too much.
Let's start that one. Let's start right one from the top there.
All right.
There's Prince.
There we go.
We hope we don't wreck your ears too much. Contrary to rumor, I'd like to take a few questions right now.
Prince, how do you feel about the
I don't understand what that was.
I guess he was taking a question from the crowd.
What just happened there?
He asked for any questions and then started playing?
All right. Prince should...
Oh, maybe he was tuning up his instruments.
Prince shouldn't be playing at the Super Bowl. That's like Prince being on American Idol that time. It just devalues him. Prince should understand that his big... Prince is sort of like Axl Rose and J.D. Salinger at this point. He's only valuable and interesting now because no one ever sees him and he doesn't do anything. Every time you come out in public, you become less interesting to people. It's not like I own all of Prince's records, but I do understand that the man has a certain mystique and a certain, I don't know, he has a certain exciting persona, but that goes away if people could just, you know, see you all the time. Well, whatever.
Here's a Prince thanking the crowd.
Thank you. Yes, Super Bowl, please.
And to make the game even a little more boring, Billy Joel will sing the national anthem.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a tough song. It's not the greatest song ever written. I mean, what
what it represents is a terrific thing, but America the Beautiful is actually a better song. It was written early in the 19th century, and that's the vernacular that's used in the song, so nobody remembers the lyrics because they really don't know what they mean.
Billy Joel doesn't know how long it'll take for him to sing the national anthem.
The NFL has a choreography, so I got to try to kind of follow what their timing things, or their desired timing. The last time I did it was in 23, Super Bowl 23, and it came in about 1:27. But I don't really know.
Spellbinding, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just gripping. I don't know. Billy Joel's one of those guys that I don't have any real reason to hate, and I do. And I can't... You know, like, I hate him a lot. Like, I don't wake up in the middle of the night seething with anger about him or anything. But when I see Billy Joel on TV, I just sort of think, like, God, what a dick. And then I just change the channel. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, there's many Billy Joels. I look, Who Among Us has not indicated
the same thing for Sunday.
Maybe. I mean, you know what Billy Joel is? Here's why Billy Joel is being picked for the Super Bowl. Because he is harmless. He's harmless and palatable.
Not going to show a boob?
No.
He's the Billy Crystal of song.
He really is. You are exactly right about that. And again, he's written some songs that everybody likes. He's written some great pop songs. Sarah Dillon, best Billy Joel song? Go.
I like Only the Good Die Young.
That's a great song. Now, see... Have I asked this before? Can you clear up a question that I have about the lyrics in that song?
Mm-hmm.
Only the Good Die Young is a great song, and I like it because it has that cool, I like everybody else. I wish that I had culture, because I don't. And when I say that, I don't mean like fine dining and whatever. I mean that like I'm a boring American white mutt. I have no lineage. I have no ethnicity as such. I'm just sort of a mutt, and I'm just a mongrel, and I have nothing to celebrate. Billy Joel makes me envious of that because he at least has that cool New York Catholic, like all those kids in Sleepers, you know what I mean? Like all those kids in a Scorsese film, those like Italian Catholic kind of dudes from the corner, you know? That like you get the feeling that he could be from one of those movies where the kids stand in a corner under a streetlight and they harmonize on Four Seasons songs or something or whatever.
Snapping like, their fingers.
Totally, and going like, ooh-wah, ooh-wah, you know, or whatever. Yeah, totally, and like with good, you know, and getting ready to go to the chocolate shop. And buy a malted. And so that's why I like that song, that Only the Good Die Young. But here's what I don't understand about that. Is, what is the girl's name? Come on, blah, blah, don't make me wait. What's her name?
Virginia.
Virginia. So is he saying that she's got to give it up because...
So he's saying that he better sleep with... She might as well just sleep with her sleep with him because she's going to end up sleeping with someone anyway.
Okay, well, that's not... See, when I hear Only the Good Die Young...
It's just basically a song of him trying to convince this girl to have sex with him.
Well, I know. Well, that's what all songs are. But I'm saying in the song, is he saying to her, when he says only the good die young, is he saying that the more you sin, the longer you live? Or is he saying that all the good people, in other words, the people you like, they all get killed early, but like a-holes live forever. And so she's going to be dead soon, so you got to live life while you're alive.
No, I think he's saying be naughty with them. Be naughty with
be
me.
Be naughty.
Because, yeah.
All right.
He just wants to get laid.
Tim Riley, best Billy Joel song.
Just the Way You Are.
Really?
Because I love announcing it.
Really?
I almost want to give him a hug.
Here's Billy Joel.
I wish we had him here and let you talk it up.
Just the Way You Are.
I think I might have Billy Joel.
Do you have Just the Way You Are? If so, Tim Riley can talk it up right here.
I don't know. Okay, like question.
Oh, darn it. We'll do it next week then.
I'm saying for me, I love that song Pressure. By Billy Joel, because it sounds all Soviet. It kind of sounds like a Tetris theme. It has that da 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 da. The worst Billy Joel song ever is either My Life, or that, even though it was the theme for Bosom Buddies, or that terrible Goodnight Saigon song, where it has that horrible echo, and he's talking about Goodnight Saigon, which is on the nylon curtain, which is all about Vietnam, but apparently, like, the most, it has that line about, we had no soft soap. Like, what does that even mean? Like, he's in the trenches in Vietnam, and the big problem is that there's no soft soap to be had. Mm. All right. Well, in any event. All right. Do we have any more Billy Joel news, or are we done with that?
No, yeah, we're done with him.
Okay.
Well, the Oregon Hedgehog says there are 6 more weeks of winter coming.
Is there sound?
I was waiting for a screen to switch here, which it didn't do. And since it hasn't, perhaps you'd like to comment.
On what?
The Oregon hedgehog says we'll have six more weeks of winter.
What Oregon hedgehog?
It's the official hedgehog of Oregon.
Oh, that's sad. Why would we have an official? Just leave it, let it be to the Pennsylvania or whatever the hell that is. Kristen Bowie, our friend Kristen Bowie actually traveled. Tell me how many levels of hell this is.
Oh, this is Horace the hedgehog.
She traveled all the way to Punxsutawney, and then she got sick and couldn't even go to see the stupid freaking hedgehog. She got the CBS death flu yesterday. She called me from bed. This is Kristen. I won't be at the Punxsutawney thing. I can't move. So she traveled all the way to Punxsutawney and is just spending it sitting there watching Hicks on television, talking to a rodent. So there you go.
Well, right. Horace the Hedgehog definitely saw his shadow.
Oh, this is just the way you are. Music that makes you feel so good.
He has a huge afro in this.
Oh, did you find it on YouTube?
Yeah. Wow. A lot of hair.
He's a weird looking guy.
He really is.
Yeah.
I was reading this thing about him today where his wife is 25 and his daughter's 21.
Good for you, Billy Joel.
And it had a picture of them side by side. It's like, yeah, which is which?
Well, you know,
he can ground his wife, but not the daughter.
You know, he wrote this song for his first wife, who he then he promptly dumped for Christie Brinkley. So that's love right there. He wrote this for his, I love you just the way you are. Where's that supermodel? And then he dumped Christie Brinkley because I guess she was, you know, too many miles on her. And then his wife is how old?
25. She's younger than me.
That's great. It's always great when you're dating people who are actually young enough that they could be your children. We've talked about the fact that it's possible that Gene Simmons has had sex with his own children at this point, because, you know what I mean?
You are just fascinated by that.
Spreading your seed throughout the 70s, and then you come back a few years later, and you know the apple doesn't fall far from the groupie tree. Aaron wants you to know that he's has a lesbian friend who uses her whole hand while driving her Volvo. She operates the Volvo with her whole hand. Let's be done with this now, shall we?
Would you like to hear the rest of the tale of Horace the Hedgehog?
More than anything.
Well, for centuries, it was the hibernating hedgehog and not the groundhog that predicted the extended winter or early spring. Historically, the hedgehog was used by Europeans, but immigrants to North America, well, they ruined the tradition. They couldn't find any hedgehogs in the new land.
They do everything.
So to be fair, Horace is an African hedgehog, which means, technically, he doesn't hibernate. I figure since you have this love of hedgehogs, that you would have chimed in by
see,
now.
Look, he was trying
oh,
to
oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to be relevant. Okay,
No.
Hold on.
Also, you're listening to
this whole time. No. This whole time you've been saying hedgehog, but in my head I was hearing groundhog.
No. Your head is giving you the wrong information.
You know, seriously, it's like you were saying hedgehog, but I was just hearing groundhog. So I want to go back and do all this news again. We're not going to do that. But blah, 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 hedgehog.
So I'm throwing all this stuff to you, and you're missing it completely.
That's why you're totally ignoring him.
That's why he was giving all the pauses, because he was waiting for me to weigh in on hedgehog.
You've been up twice. You spec out three times, and I give you
a I'm sorry. I feel terrible now.
I feel terrible. Wow, this is really relevant. Let's go back to more teeth and dental stories. Right?
There's more. Gonna be a,
I feel like I've wasted. Like,
can we go back to more necrotic tissue spraying out of your teeth? No, I feel bad. This whole time I thought I just heard blah, 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 hog, and I thought you were talking about groundhogs. I never realized you were talking about hedgehogs. Because an African hedgehog is what I had both times.
Too late now. You can talk about it all you want. I'm not going to participate. You had your chance.
I'm sorry. I feel happy birthday, Tim. Oh, good God Almighty. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Film
Fever. Why do I even try?
I really don't know the answer to that.
I come in here sick as a dog.
I'm sorry. I
put my health in danger.
And I've got nothing. I don't know why when you said hedge, I heard ground. It just makes no sense.
This is a medium that must be listened to.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Let's welcome now to the... You're coughing for effect now. You are just coughing for effect.
He's drinking tea, huddled in the corner coughing.
Coughing to make me feel bad.
You should feel bad.
Coughing from the strain of preparing news I didn't listen to. I'm a terrible person. Oh... Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Do we have music to bring him on with, Sarah? Let's welcome.
Doesn't matter, he won't be listening.
Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. From FilmFeverRadio.com, our good friend Scott Dally. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I was consoling Tim over there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I had the pauses, too. I was like, okay, Hedgehog, Rick.
I didn't even hear it. I was just hearing Hedgehog for some reason.
Poor Tim.
I think seven or eight times.
Hedgehog.
Hedgehog. Get some tea. I'll be back.
I get some chamomile.
Tim's just walking out of the studio. Thanks for coming in. Over the drive for Tannisborn wasn't too long.
Oh, that's awful.
I don't know. I have no explanation. It was just like a total, it was like aphasia. I just heard the word, but it didn't make it. It didn't resonate inside my, well, now I feel like an ass.
Well, it was Groundhog's Day after all.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it. Why would he be talking about hedgehogs? Don't give me that look.
Give me the guilt
look. Listen, first of all. Fantastic studio.
This is how great this is the studio.
This studio is
so
fantastic.
Fantastic.
I know. Yeah.
The best part, though, is the looks that I... Because in the old studio, Sarah was to my left, and you were kind of off to my right. Sarah can stare at you and just give you the looks of death, and I've seen like five of them in like 10 minutes that I've been here.
Well, the thing is, Sarah's mom is a teacher. Your mom is a teacher, and so Sarah has learned the teacher stare from her mom. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, because you know your teacher does that thing where she would stand at the classroom and she would stare at some point between, like in the middle aisle, in the middle of the class, not at any one student, but just sort of stare at the class, looking at a point right between the middle aisles, you know, about halfway back, and the class would know that look, and you just kind of go, and then you just kind of quiet down. Yeah. You have that stare down cold. Don't take this the wrong way. You'd be a great mom, though, because you have that stare. You have the whole, like, you know.
My mom has that, has the stare, and then she has the eyebrow that she raised. And I knew I was in trouble when she did that.
Can you raise one eyebrow?
I can't.
I can't either. My wife does it, has it down to a T, and I just, like, it scares me.
You know what you know what that eyebrow means? The eyebrow is like you are one step away from a beating. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is, the eyebrow is a nonverbal warning. It's a whole lot of, like.
Can you do it, Rick?
Keep pushing me. Oh, yeah. I can do both eyebrows.
Ooh, impressive.
I can do both.
Yeah,
my wife,
the crazy Stephen Colbert eyebrows. Scott Dally, what's up in the world of film, sir?
Oh, not a whole lot. Well, I figured, you know, since there's some game this weekend.
The big game.
The big game.
The big one.
I don't want to say what it is because I would hate for us to be sued for any reason.
Seriously, it's so tempting to play the Super Bowl shuffle. I can do it,
well,
too.
Well, this is the news segment.
No, we're a news program.
So Super Bowl
we actually
shuffle.
Can do it because it's fair use.
Tim Riley, our newsman, is in the studio.
Do you know how bad that is? Have you heard that recently?
The Super Bowl shuffle.
Oh, it's the worst thing ever.
It's terrible. It's a bunch of, and I guess it's wrong to say it's a bunch of white men, because, you know, this is, you know,
it's Jim McMahon.
Men of every color. But it is, look, I don't know what the ethnic makeup of the team was that year, but it sounds really white.
That was the year
it's the
Jim
whitest
McMahon.
Sounding. And refrigerator Perry, though.
Right.
So, I mean, but it is just the lamest thing you've ever heard. So, so Super Bowl's coming up on Sunday.
So I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about sports films.
Have you created a list?
I have, a definitive list of Scott Dally's favorite sports film.
How many are on this list?
Five. Well, there's more, but I thought you. Good done.
All right, hold on. Let me guess.
All right.
Five greatest sports films in your opinion. Now, Brian's Song, does that count?
No, made for TV.
All right.
I bet Varsity Blues is pretty high up there.
Yeah, it's...
I don't want your life.
You love that movie, Rick. That's one of your favorite movies. You've told me several times.
No, but that's the only line from it I can do.
That's the only line anyone can do.
And then all the... in West Texas, football is a religion. He does that, too. Here's the heartbreaking thing about Varsity Blues is what a terrible film it is, but how enjoyable it is. Like, when it's on, I'll watch it. I'll watch Varsity Blues.
You've expressed this as your secret
thing. It's not a secret, though. I mean, it's like, I'll watch it. The sad thing is that Varsity Blues, you know, is... They approached the guy who wrote Friday Night Lights, and they said, look, we'd like to make a really terrible version of Friday Night Lights. Can we have your blessing? And he said, no. You know, and no, F you. And so they went off and they made Varsity Blues, but they had to change everything about it. And so then they made Friday Night Lights later, which is one of the most beautiful films ever made.
Number one,
Friday Night Lights is, I don't care if you have never watched a sporting event in your life. It's a beautiful, I mean, it's devastating. I mean, it's a dark, dark film. I mean, it just breaks your heart, but it's a beautiful film. But the sad thing about Friday Night Lights is it just got so overshadowed because people looked at it and they went, oh, yeah, that's just like Varsity Blues. And it's like, Varsity Blues is like a clown car version of Friday Night Lights. I mean, it's made by MTV. Varsity Blues is made by MTV.
It's the WB version.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it really is. It is exactly. It is exactly that. It's exactly like a you know, like a Dawson's Creek version.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that. But Friday Night Lights is just one of the most amazing films. I mean, one of the greatest performances of Billy Bob Thornton's career.
Oh, agreed.
It's got a fantastic score. This group called Explosions in the Sky, who are like this ambient rock band. Just a score. It's just, it really is a great film. All right, what else is it?
That's actually my number five.
Friday Night Lights.
My number four is Slapshot. I love Slapshot. It's such a fantastic... Paul Newman and the Hanson Brothers.
Have you ever seen the punk band, the Hanson Brothers?
No, I have not.
No, there's a punk band called No Means No. Or like a kind of a, they're not even a punk band. They're kind of a hardcore kind of a thing. I don't really know much about No Means No.
Okay.
But I know that the guys in No Means No have a side project, the Hanson Brothers, in which they come out on stage with goalie masks, horn-rimmed glasses over the goalie masks, jerseys, and all of their songs are about hockey. And they're all like 2 minutes long.
Oh, that's so great.
I've seen them a couple
times.
So
great. What's great about that movie is how it's just incredibly violent and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
It's a great, great film. I'm not a big hockey fan, but Slapshot is one of the
Let's
classics.
Burn through some of these calls so we can free up these lines here. George, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. George. Well, that was easy. let's see. George, number two, hello. Yeah, excellent. We're making good time. DJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, sir. Hey, I got a question for you if you can help me out.
Okay.
You talked a while back about a theater in Portland someplace that I think they serve, I'm not sure they serve full dinners or like wine at a table while you're watching the movie.
Cinetopia. It's in Vancouver, actually. It's called Cinetopia.
Okay, cool.
And go ahead.
Would that be like a Valentine's date kind of thing?
Oh yeah,
I would say so. If your wife, girlfriend, whatever is into movies, if your significant other's into films, yes, because it's, and again, this is not a plug. I don't get paid for this. I'm simply a satisfied customer giving word of mouth. It's a great place. They got a real food. They have, you know, theater food too and popcorn and whatever. But even that, they got like 15 different flavors. They have like jalapeno popcorn, like garlic popcorn. They've got real food. They'll serve it to you. They've got a wine bar. They've got a coffee shop inside there, and then they've got these plush leather seats. They've got the big like leather hassock that you can put your feet up on. It's a digital screen. It's a beautiful experience. There's a theater like that in Portland, but all the movies they show are just a bunch of ass films that no one cares about.
Come on.
The one in Portland is all art films. The one in Vancouver is all mainstream films. That's where I saw Superman Returns.
The one in Portland is called...
I appreciate it. That's where we're looking for kind of like a little...
Yeah, it's Cinetopia. Thank you. All right, there you go. The one in Portland is called The Living Room.
Living Room, right.
It's not that they're bad movies. They're just not mainstream films. Like a bunch of documentaries.
It's where Panorama used to be.
Yeah,
it's Southwest.
Stuff that no one cares about.
Exactly.
Let's see. Ken has a question for Scott Daly. Hello, Ken.
Hey, guys. I finally got Sci-Fi DVD, watched the Drunken Film Commentary. I must say it was one of a kind.
Oh, thank you.
One of a kind. I really did enjoy that, especially the teasing Clyde about Dakota Fanning and Rick Kevin to do more push-ups. So I was wondering what the, if you guys have made a decision on the next movie you're going to do a Drunken Film Commentary to?
Yeah, actually our next one is going to be in February. We did one in January for Tombstone, and technically it just wasn't up to par, so we decided to not let that happen. But in February we're going to do an all-female cast of The Princess Bride. And it's going to be women only, and Aaron and I are the only two guys there, and the only thing Aaron and I are allowed to say during the commentary is as you wish.
Okay, so it's going to be all chicks. Who are the girls at the
right now? Right up, we've got Aaron's wife Jen, my wife Maxine. Who else is going to be? Our friend Kat. Sarah Dillon is, of course, more than invited to come.
Excellent.
And there's a couple others we're still firming up. So that's coming up.
I've forbidden my wife to go.
Oh, I thought she was going.
No, I've forbidden her. I've forbidden her to go.
You can't forbid her to do anything.
I've forbidden her to go, and here's why. Because Laura, now look, you know she's a great woman. You know I love her.
You're going to really forbid her to go.
But there's some things that I just, that have to be, look, no person is perfect. And she doesn't like The Princess Bride. And I will not let her sully. She wants to go because there's booze. That's the thing. She's like, there's free booze, though. And I'm like, baby, you don't like... Look, when we first met, I have made her watch The Princess Bride 3 times because it's a classic. It's one of the greatest films ever made.
Right.
And she watches it, she's like, I don't know, I just don't like it. And it's like, to me, that's like driving... It's like driving nails into my soul.
It's like me not liking Tombstone.
Yeah, to tell me you don't like it. Well, and for a girl to not like The Princess Bride, it's a fairy tale.
See, though, I think it's important for her to be there because she doesn't like it, and having the alcohol really, really...
No, I can't let her pretend pretend to be the Princess Bride fan just so she can get his snocker.
So she's going to stay home and make dinner for you?
Yes. She's going to stay home and keep her opinions to herself. Stay home and keep her thoughts inside her head.
In lieu of our lost Tombstone commentary, we have reposted the Star Trek II Wrathicon,
which is a great commentary.
Which is our best one to date.
Speaking of commentaries, let's talk to our good friend Diana from downtown.
Hello.
Hey, Diana, what's up, sister?
Well, okay, I plan on not getting as blabbo as I did the last time.
Yeah. I don't even know what an Amazon woman hitting the floor sounds like. That's got to sound like a redwood just crashing into the floor of the bathroom.
Sound
to
hear.
Well, I'm pretty sure I realized I was in trouble when I tried to stand up and just ease myself down quietly.
Yeah.
They kind of noticed I was lying on the floor, if I remember right.
How could you not notice that?
I never even realized you showed up.
No, it was, I remember you sort of just staggering.
I was trying to barricade myself in the bathroom, and Prime wouldn't let me do it.
No, it was really just like lurching through the living room trying to find the door. Yeah, it was all kinds of unpleasant stuff.
Oh, well, but, happy birthday, Tim. Or is he already
Tim
gone?
A happy birthday. No, he's, he says thank you. He's rifling through the refrigerator, but he says thank you.
Excellent. I would have brought a cake, but I have no idea how to make a vegan cake, so.
Tim, what kind of, can you even eat cake?
I owe you a
made of sawdust.
Thing. I have to comment on the Buddy Holly death announcement. Do you realize that your patois is almost identical to that guy?
What, mine?
Yes.
I talk like Buddy Holly?
No, not you, Rick, not Tim.
Oh,
Tim talked like the announcer announcing the death of
The action news guy.
Other announcers speak like me.
No. Fantastic.
Oh, come on, baby. That man's already long dead, and you're just in the prime of your life.
No, it's true. Tim is just now turning 37. There you go. There's Diana from downtown.
I want to also mention that Diana will be at our commentary in February. And, of course, Kristen from accounting will be there as well.
Yes, no, she's all about the Princess Bride.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, fantastic. It'll be good times. I think we should break here. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back. Scott Daly from Film People Radio is here. We'll also be joined by our good friends Court and Fatboy from KUFO. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program on AM 970. Solid State Radio. I'm going to stay. Get my way. Step aside. A pain in the face. Down and I take the Rick Emerson Radio Program, 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, thanks to God that Tim Riley is back. The several days of Scotty's reporting style resulted in several days of me leaving work to drink and pass out on my lawn in a fit of ennui and impotent depression. Tim, you've given a birthday present to the Portland metro area by coming back to reclaim your rightful throne and relegate Scotty back to where his magic works, which is nowhere. Thank you, Tim.
Oh, that is so cruel. Scotty did a fabulous job. He had no warning whatsoever, and he pulled himself together, well, better than anyone with his lack of experience.
No, it's true. Scotty did a not terrible job.
Even a better than not terrible job.
And you know, on this program, that's really all that matters.
Yep.
It's just any small shade of
there's a little
bit
irresponsible, and just keep on talking.
Just plunge on ahead, and even if you don't understand the story you're reading, you simply convey it with authority and panache, and people will swallow anything.
Absolutely.
It's 503-733-2970. Rick, you were talking about Tim having a crown on his teeth. All I can picture him is as all I can picture. This doesn't make any sense.
Just keep on reading.
They can only picture you as Richard Kiel in Moonraker. And then he signs it, please take all my Everclear records. All right. It's 503. Speaking of which, what time is it now, Sarah? It's 2:30 something?
2:37.
I don't think we've seen Art Alexakis yet.
It's canceled.
He
may have missed the bus.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station KUFO, Court and Fatboy, evening 6 to 9. Hello.
Yeah. We're not going to say who canceled, but it is canceled.
If I guess who canceled, will you tell me whether I'm right or wrong?
Okay.
Was it KUFO that canceled it?
Yes.
What reason do you have to actually even be here?
It's another show. I don't even want to discuss it.
Goodwill tour.
Yeah, there you go. I don't. He's playing.
The Goodwill tour. Yeah. Is that after the Value Village tour?
Art is playing a show apparently this weekend, but it's terrible.
So hello. I was just thinking if I'd be silent, you'd elaborate. Is there a suitable
No, it's not my story.
I mean, yeah. You are a radio guy, so if I just have dead air, you'll eventually speak to
it. I don't want to elaborate because it's not my show, so.
All right, okay.
You should bring in the other show to talk to them about it.
Let's not. It's 503-733-2970.
Well, the hugging?
I'm just going to say, I'm saying it's all about you. This is your time in the Rick Emerson spotlight.
Really?
Michelle, how are you feeling?
There's a bunch of people who've we mentioned today that we were going to have you guys on, and we got a bunch of calls. I'm not blowing sunshine because there's other guys that did the George W. Bush boy president. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So you have fans,
Thank you.
Rick Emerson audience.
Thank you.
Well, tell everybody what's going on tonight at the Baghdad.
Tonight, Baghdad Fight Club. It's Court and Fat Boys midnight movie showing of Fight Club. 11 o'clock tonight. $3 to get in, and it's part of our little series that we got going on. And we've been trying to do Fight Club for a long time, and we've been waiting to try and get Chuck Palahniuk in. We've been begging to get Chuck Palahniuk in, and that's not going to happen.
Put your exhale back.
Yeah. we've been begging. I contacted his people many times, and they have given us a resounding nothing.
We're basically asking friends of his who live in the area and listen to our show, which is maybe half of one. On their way to NPR or something.
Right.
But to maybe sell him out somewhat for swag.
Is this
T-shirts, keychains, things
like
that?
Chuck Palahniuk's really going to go for that.
Well,
a free
who doesn't want a K-Lite?
Would you like a radio
t-shirt?
Station keychain? Would you like a beach ball that says K-Lite? Come on!
Just like our station swag. That'd be the good stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't have any of our own stuff. I guess we have T-shirts now, but we don't have any. All we have
is... Vizo.
Yeah, we have Vizo, and we have coffee cups from outdated formats that no longer exist in the kitchen.
Yeah, but those are world-changing coffee cups.
That's funny. And we had some Tony Danza show mugs. That was about it.
So priceless, man.
So what time does that start?
11 o'clock tonight. Even though it's called the midnight movie, it starts at 11 o'clock.
Because the big game is coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're talking about the greatest sports films ever. Court, greatest sports film?
Put me on the spot. Unnatural.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I just never would have, I wouldn't have pictured you, no one ever says that.
I'm a big sucker for cheesy movies.
Okay.
Okay.
You always think of the lights being smashed by the baseball.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel every time that music comes.
You guys all did that at once.
I have that music. I have that music on my iTunes. I listen to it on occasion.
Really? Pump yourself up?
Yeah.
I'll go Rocky is one. Hoop Dreams is
Hoop
another.
Dreams.
Yeah.
Hoop Dreams.
Hoosiers. Yeah. Well, sort of. I don't know. There's something about Hoosiers that doesn't rub me right.
The full white people. The fact that it's a white man's...
yeah, there's that.
I was going to say it's white man's wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
Exactly. The nerdy, skinny, greasy kid wins with a granny free throw. That doesn't work for a basketball movie for me. I can't buy that. So Hoosiers, maybe not so much. Bull Durham is another one.
Yeah.
White Men Can't Jump. That one's really good.
Cool Runnings.
Yeah. Okay.
Court, you might want to throw in your headphones here. Let's see. This is Ethan. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up?
Hey, Court, weren't you at one time a DJ on AM 970 when it was the Beat?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Now, was that...
Wow, I can't hear you at all now.
Well, it doesn't really
matter. Okay.
thank you. Were you on 970 or was it like a simulcast?
No, I was on 970. It was my first job in radio. I was going to Linfield College, and I drove up here every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning to do morning radio on 970 AM, the 970 The Beat. And then Bill Prescott was doing his thing at the same time. I just kind of bounced back and forth in between.
Fantastic.
And that's how I got into FM radio and then sold my soul.
Excellent. I didn't even know they did music on AM anymore. Is it one of those things?
That was one of the... It was the first alternative station in Portland.
Well, they play music on AM, but it's all Mexican music, and it's pumping our ass in the ratings.
Yeah.
I'm serious now.
I played 2 days ago.
They have oldies.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Too soon.
Are you going to play the sounder?
No, I don't
know. Come on.
I don't know where it is. I don't have my too soon sounder. All right, excellent. Fight Club Baghdad, 11 o'clock tonight. Wait.
Art does it? I wonder if Art knows. Okay, I swear to God.
There's scraggly hair.
Hold on,
who is that?
A bunch of young kids just going to the building. Okay, Art Alexakis. I'm whispering.
Like there aren't speakers in the hallway.
No, he doesn't know he's been canceled. He doesn't know it's been canceled.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to break it to him?
Maybe they're going to tape it out.
Yeah, Scotty J needs to break the news. Seriously, I thought... He doesn't know.
Oh, someone's coming down the hallway.
I swear to God, here's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's somebody with a very long face.
Very concerned.
Hold on. Here's what just happened. Mm-hmm. So Art Alexakis and a scraggly band of misfits who now pass for Everclear just walked by us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. This is sort of like a bloopers and practical jokes kind of a thing. I'm Ed McMahon. He doesn't know that we've replaced his appearance with Folger's Crucible.
He's about to meet the rodent mixed with a human.
I wonder if there's going to be shouting. I wonder if there's going to be shouting.
Words will be exchanged.
Seriously.
Oh, no, because
he doesn't have to shout.
No, he doesn't. Yes. No.
His voice carries much weight.
He speaks in a whisper and it resonates everywhere.
The gravity of a black hole, that man.
He's in the kitchen.
I can't.
I'm trying to look around the corner. No, I'm hoping.
Somebody's about to hear the words they've heard so many times before.
You don't need to be in today, or ever. So thanks.
You know, it would be great.
Can you see me at 4:55 on Friday? All right. Fight Club tonight, 11 p.m. $3.
$3 to get in, and it's going to be fantastic. And we encourage no fighting. But if fighting does break out.
I got to say this now, and I only say this because there were some people who listened to you who also listened to us, and they were at the aliens thing, and there was a lot of talking.
Yeah, there was.
Have you guys put the smackdown on people who
were... Yes, we have. And actually, the aliens show was the one that made us put the smackdown on everyone, because there was too much talking. There was, you know, those quiet building moments. Some drunk jackass shouts something out and just ruins the entire thing. So, we've said, if... You ruin the movie. It's fine if you yell stuff out. If you want to yell lines out and stuff like that as they happen, cool. Everyone kind of knows the lines anyhow. But if you ruin the movie in any way for anybody, we're going to haul you up in front of the theater, and turn off the movie, dump your beer on you, and then kick you out.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right, there you go.
Kind of scary.
As it should be.
Yes. Gordon Fatboy weeknights, including tonight, 6 to 9 on Rock 101 KUFO.
I thought we had some unfinished business with Sky J.
Oh,
awkwardness.
Hey, awkwardness. God, I hate to do this. Will you go fetch Scotty J?
And also, Fatboy was being a little mouthy that he missed that they missed their workspace. Our beautiful
studio. It didn't even occur to me when we walked in here that the show is probably gaining an extra bit of greatness because this is where we used to work.
I was just like, there's plenty of room for you to still work here.
Well, I know. That was actually one of our, we actually suggested that. I swear to God, we did. It was like, well, can we just kind of...
We should tell people that the studio where we are now was at one point your prep room.
Yes, sir.
The best part was how they didn't... There was no actual discussion about it. It's like you guys were in here one day, and I came in with the engineers, and they were literally like measuring things while you're working.
Uh-huh. So what's going on here, guys? You got to put another desk in?
Well, I had that awkwardness the other day, actually, because my office is still at the coin tower.
Yeah.
And there's an office upstairs that they're going to move me into. And, like, they actually took me into that office. They're like, okay, Rick, so your desk is going to go here, and then put your file cabinet. And then the person who's in that office looks up like, what? Hello? I'm trying to, who are you? And they're like, yeah. So anyway, Rick, your stuff is going to go. And that was how it was. It was like the total passive. Wait, they're walking by the studio.
Okay.
Hold on.
Those guys are like 20 years old. Wait, there
walking
you
by the studio right now.
Come on your show if you want him to.
And then a requisite.
Yeah. Okay, his hair is all like scraggly, and he's wearing a black Johnny Depp hat.
That's not as real.
They're being herded into a room.
Yeah. So old art. But you know what he reminds me of right now?
Mm.
He reminds me of young Abe Vigoda on Barney. That's what he looks like right now. Yes, he looks like fish. It's weirding me out.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show Scotty J, who joins us in the studio. Hi, Scotty. How are you doing?
It's like the good old days.
It's like the good old days. We're back to borrowing each other's mics.
All right.
So thanks for leaving your headphones here.
Scotty, you're getting a little bit too used to standing in this spot.
Scotty, it is it's the opinion of Sarah Dillon. Sarah, would you like to handle this?
Oh, I didn't have an opinion. No, I was actually... Well, after the show yesterday, you and I went in and talked to Corn Fatboy for a little bit. And it was brought to our attention that... Fatboy might think that Scotty doesn't like him.
Yeah, it seems like Scotty's a little aloof around me.
I'll back this up, because yesterday after your show, you guys were kind of walking out, and Scotty came along with a suitcase in tow, and kind of poked his head into where our prep space is now,
and just kind of looked around, apparently looking for you, and kind of did a look back and forth, saw Fatboy, and I swear, I saw you roll your eyes.
What?
I swear, I saw you roll your eyes when you saw Fatboy.
All right, well, the rolling eyes thing would be, I'm lost and don't know my way around here, and
it's an eye ailment.
Didn't recognize you either, because I've only met you one time, so I have a really bad memory. I drink a lot.
Well, what about the day before when you met me in the hall, and I was asking about a news story, and you just kind of turned around and walked off?
No,
you came out of the door and you had your suitcase thing. You were starting to tug it down the hall.
I always have my suitcase.
Every time I say suitcase, Scott snickers.
No, he has the full-on extendable handle Samsonite dragging it through the airport on your way to Buffalo thing.
Well, you never know in this business how long you're going to be around, so I'm ready to go.
Keep that mindset.
You've got to keep your contacts positive, guys.
Now I'm refreshed. Now I know who you are.
That's where you keep all the half-hour sounders. Anyway, so he's coming out of the door, and I go, did you guys talk about that Aqua Teen thing on your show today?
Yeah.
And he goes, huh?
Yeah.
And I go, no, the Aqua Teen thing, no. Well, you thought it was cool, right? And he looked at me for a second, and then he turned around.
He looked at you
right down the hall.
With eyes that were dead as a doll's eye.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Shark's eye, soulless eye.
It's just flat out, I forgot who you were.
I didn't realize how important you are.
No, I'm just kidding, buddy. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I just, when I'm... coming in and out of here, I'm, in and out of the phase. Of,
if I was to ask you whether or not you disliked him, what would the answer be?
Love the guy. Mm. I'll even give him a man hug.
All right, there you go. Fantastic.
You know what? You should go ahead.
It's a man hug when there's a tapping on the back.
It's okay. Like,
we're not going to talk about tapping.
I think Rick needs
I'm
a hug.
I'm done being hugged. I've already been hugged once this week.
No, I'm not going to hug him. Savage hugged him once. Savage was on it nice and does weekends.
Ken Savage hugged me.
What about Court?
You want a hug?
I don't want a hug.
He does too.
At least Christine had breasts.
We got boobs. I'm working on them.
I was gonna say fat boy. I mean, sort of a starter kit.
All right, come on, boy. Don't be shy.
He has to come over here. I'm not coming to him.
Why don't you meet in the middle?
I don't.
You make him come. Hug him back.
Thank you.
God, we are so lame.
All right.
Oh. Aaron Duran just texted.
We're breaking now.
Tell Fatboy his Stump the Movie Geek Kung Fu is weak.
All right, thanks.
Well, we have to do it.
Consider it a challenge for another day. We're breaking now.
Okay.
We're leaving now. Thank you. Gordon Fatboy, see Fight Club tonight, 11 o'clock at the Baghdad. Gordon Fatboy's Midnight Movie, and hear him 6 to 9, weeknights on Rock 101 KUFO. Back after this with headlines from Tim Riley, more movie observations from Scott Daly. This is the White Side. This is George Emerson Show.
Don't go anywhere.
Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our show. Who wants to describe the awkwardness that's happening? Anyone?
Man, oh man.
So, apparently what happened is, because now that we've already mentioned it, we can't not finish it.
It's already out there.
All the monitors in the hallway are on.
We already said
it. They know that we're watching them.
Hello, Art.
We already said it, but so apparently it was canceled. The Everclear interview was canceled. But I don't think anyone told them, and then they just showed
so
up.
So awkward.
They just showed up. Well, I know.
It's uncomfortable because they're walking around and everyone's whispering because everyone who works here knows that they would cancel.
And again, I'm not trying to make it uncomfortable. I would not reveal this had we not already revealed the first half. Like, it's, like an hour ago, we're like, oh, yeah, it looks like that's been canceled. And then they just showed up.
Art and his posse.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
You can't have a bunny after all. Nobody can. 100 rabbits stolen back from a Hillsborough woman. We're supposed to be put up for adoption. The judge says he's canceling the event. The bunnies will not be put up for adoption for the time being.
The bunnies don't know that, though, and they're going to show up at the event anyway.
High five.
Bam.
2 points. So what's going to happen with the bunnies, Tim?
We don't know.
Oh. Tell me about the bunnies, Tim.
Well, here's another charming animal story. The Oregon Zoo orangutan says the bears will win over the Colts in the big game of the weekend. India. I tossed the Colts shirt and reached for a Bears logo t-shirt instead. Overall, she's 6-3, correctly predicting 2 Civil War games and 4 Super Bowl games.
I don't really know that I trust the Super Bowl predictions from a thing that flings its own poo at a wall.
I love America.
All right.
That's it for now.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
taking the week out in high style, coming in even though he is not yet fully recovered,
not at all.
Plunging on through a hedgehog story that I callously disregarded. Let's give it up for Tim Riley, the world's greatest newsman. Happy birthday, Tim Riley.
Thank you.
37 this week.
I wanted to bring Tim a gift, but what do you give Tim? So I figured I just won't touch him today.
Does Scott Daly look a little like Dustin Diamond with facial hair like that?
Sweet Lord, yes.
Isn't that
the
I'm sorry, Scott Daly, but you do.
Right now, you look like Dustin. If you had the kind of the bigger, like the white man fro, you look like Dustin Diamond.
What did I do to you?
There's no getting around it.
What have I ever done? She wouldn't think that if you had brought it up, Rick Emerson.
Let's take a phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Mark.
All right. He's solidly protesting your Dustin Diamond reference.
He wants to know if you've seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes, it's fantastic.
All right, well, there you go, Mark.
Is it playing anywhere still?
Yeah. It's like in 10 theaters now.
Oh, good. Over.
It's in Utopia, actually.
Let's talk to Greg. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick. I had a question for Art Alexakis.
Okay.
Is he in the room yet or not?
No, thank you. All right. Thank you. Hope that was worth it. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Peter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'm starting to think that it's not so much the callers as it is our phone system.
It's true. All right, there you go. That's it, Peter. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
That's fun. Hey, so you don't have this to review this week, but next week, they're sending you to see Hannibal Rising?
Yes, there is a film coming out next Friday called Hannibal Rising.
The trailer for that makes it look like the worst thing ever created.
And it's funny, I got the screening invite earlier this week saying, Tuesday at noon, Hannibal Rising, this will be the only press screening of this film, so if you want to see it, see it now. So I'm going to go just out of morbid curiosity. So I'll be in next Friday with the review of Hannibal Rising.
I'm amazed that they're screening that for anybody.
I'm amazed they've made this thing. It looks terrible.
So bad.
It looks awful.
I mean, and that kid, I pity anybody who has to follow up, Anthony Hopkins.
I know.
It's not easy to do, but I mean, it looks like a parody.
Yeah, it looks
so
terrible.
Bad.
So I'm just going to go, just out of curiosity, because I'm very, very interested in it. I told Aaron to come see. No, I got
to
work.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing. It's like, why? I don't even really care enough to go see it. So
let me run down my last three sports films real quickly. My number three sports film is Major League. Fantastic comedy, outstanding film.
Are you sure you don't mean The League of Their Own?
A League of Their Own is a really good film. That's probably in the top five. No, number two is Caddyshack. I'm surprised with Court and Fatboy in here they did not mention Caddyshack.
I'm just not much of a Caddyshack fan.
How can you not like Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray?
As a guy, I kind of like it, but it's fantastic. I don't like it as much as everybody else does.
And my number one film, yes, it's another Kevin Costner film. And no, it's not Tin Cup. It is Bull Durham.
I love
Bull Durham. Yeah. I mean, his interactions with Susan Sarandon, especially with Tim Robbins as the rookie, he calls meat. It's just fantastic. Yeah.
You know what I watched the other day?
Great sports writer.
That I hadn't seen in a long time. I watched Any Given Sunday.
That is such a great film.
It's not a perfect film, but it's a strong film.
That's the one film that's sure to clear my wife out of the room. I'm going to watch Any Given Sunday. Okay, I'm going to go in the other room.
I love it. It's not a bad film. It certainly has its moments. Let's welcome now to the
Host Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
I got to change that. Oh, that's my fault. Hey, Mailman Chris, what's up, sir?
You got to beat that sound or anything.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my fault. We moved it over to the other building, and I keep forgetting. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, are you ready?
Am I feeling limber?
I hope so. And you've got lots of room in that nice new studio to do push-ups.
How many push-ups am I at?
Lisa, Ed, Court, Scott, and the talk about Super Bowls. You did not get the Out My Skin story. You did not get the Swerving Perspective. You did not get one of the radio addresses, and you did not talk about Paris Hilton. So that would be 4 + 6 gives you 10.
All right. There's a nice big spot right here next week. So
I'll just let you guys talk amongst yourselves while I... What's going on at FilmFeverRadio.com?
FilmFeverRadio.com this week, because we did another show at Tony Starlight's 1, 2, 3. We are talking about the best sci-fi scores. 5.
He is.
He's doing them. 6, 7. He's doing them good, too. He's getting better. 8. 7. 9 and 10. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just missed Art walking by the room. He was,
he was looking for me.
He was looking for you.
Anyway, so this weekend on filmfavorite.com, we talk about the best sci-fi scored films from 2001 all the way up to Star Wars and, of course, all good stuff. But because we did it at the Tony Starlight's Club, we had to kind of talk about because music and all that good stuff.
Sure.
And we're going to be there again this coming Tuesday at 8:30, Tony Starlight's in Hollywood. It's a band freaking fantastic. Come there and see it. But, yeah, so Film Fever Radio, it's available right now. As well as our Star Trek 2 rap concert.
He's in the studio. He's on the Marconi show right now.
Okay.
He's in there looking awkward with his hat all cockeyed.
Really?
Marconi's talking to him. They're leaning against the wall, nodding.
My back is to the Marconi studio, so I can't really see what's going on here.
Oh, Scott's speaking.
Hello.
I think he just saw me looking at him. I feel a little creepy.
Does he have a little pink stripe in his hair, I noticed?
I don't know.
I think I saw that when he was walking by.
All right.
Looking a little pissed, actually.
I feel a little woozy here.
Yeah, all right.
Excellent.
You only have a couple more minutes.
All right.
Hey, Rick, you busted those 10 out pretty good.
I did know. It's because I'm getting better.
And your face isn't that red. It's helping.
Yeah. No.
Now it's really white. I'm getting really better. Flush.
Trying to look tough in front of Art.
No, it's true. Yeah. I'm trying to impress him with everything I have.
How does,
coming up at the end of the week here, how does my volume sound on the phone, sir?
Sounds good.
All right, so I sound okay?
It's much better than it was earlier.
All right, fantastic. All right, so we are zeroed out, and we will talk to you, the beginning of next week, I guess?
Talk to you on Monday.
All right, there you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. Let's see here.
They're looking at us.
Are they?
Yes.
Should we wave?
No.
Should we turn
them? And I'm the one facing them.
Yeah, see, I got my back to them. Doesn't matter to me. All right.
Great.
It's 503-733-2970. I have all of these dental stories that I have no time to get to. Let's see. I'll just read this one about laughing gas because it makes me want to try it. Rick, when I was a teenager, me and some buddies were hanging out in a friend's loft getting high in a bottle of laughing gas that one of the guys had pilfered from somewhere. I remember that Jacques Cousteau's Undersea Adventure was on television. We couldn't stop laughing. I needed to get something downstairs, so I got up, took one step on the stairs, and fell all the way to the bottom.
It was funny.
I didn't feel a thing. Lying on the floor, all I could hear was hysterical laughing from upstairs. People saying, "He fell down the stairs. Ha, 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 ha." Nobody bothered to come see if I was okay. After the gas wore off, I got up and went home. I could hardly move the next day. Now I can definitely recommend laughing gas, but only if you are securely strapped to do it for you. There you go. Fantastic. All right, well, there you go. Add that to the list of things I got to do. And so forth. All right, so we didn't get through a bunch of stuff, but we'll do it next week. We've got Lycus coming up at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 11, right here on this very fine radio station. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, the Timnasium with Tim Savage and Sarah Wagner. That is tomorrow, 4 to 6, right here on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Check out filmfeverradio.com and Corden's Bad Boys Midnight Movie tonight, which is actually at 11 p.m. It is Fight Club, $3 at the Baghdad tonight. All right, we want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Ed McCarthy at the Super Bowl and Lisa Goddard. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, who turns a happy 37 years old this week. And, of course, our PA, Scotty J. And the Rick Emerson gatekeeper is Dave Zinn.
37.
As always, my friends. Son of a bitch. Thanks for listening. Be safe. See you all on Monday. Bye.